Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. You know, usually every week I have a success story for relationships that I get to share with you guys, but this week I'm proud because I actually helped a person to get away from a toxic relationship. So instead of bringing two people together, I also get people away from relationships that are very bad for them. And the person actually just wrote me back today and thanked me from the bottom of their heart for that. And I just wanted to remark that that's also something very important that we do here at PsychicAccess.com and the Psychic Viewpoint. We help to give clarity to situations and to give people confidence to get away from situations that are bad from them. But hey, this isn't the Stephen Lewis story starring Stephen and co-starring the rest of the world. I have a lot of talented people here with me tonight. Maureen, how are you doing?
I am okay. Thank you so very kindly much.
I'm glad to hear that. Can you share with us some of your talents and skills at Psychic Access, please?
I have lots of talents and skills. Yes, no, I'm an intuitive empath tarot advisor, and I love spiritual development. I love helping people with that, but I can help people with other things. And speaking of things that are interesting, there's some parties. I live down at the beach, you guys. Sorry, there's some dogs barking. They're having some party. But, you know, the guest my last guest sent a lovely email to us, and he's a professor of literature, Dr. Alan Hunter, and, you know, was on Gratitude Bound, and he sent such a lovely thing to us, how he loves what work we're doing and sharing with people. And he loves it. He's a part of it. And I just wanted to share that with everybody. And even though I don't read for him, I thought it was a great reflection on all of us and as well as him.
Well, I was grateful to have him on. Get it? Grateful? Gratitude?
I got that.
He was a lovely fellow. I enjoyed that interview very much. Well, Maureen, we're definitely glad to have you here tonight. Everybody, you can find Maureen at PsychicAccess.com. Also, I have here with me tonight my good friend and colleague, Steve Frampton. Hi, Steve. Greetings to you.
Good evening.
Well, you know what? Why don't you tell everybody what it is that you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Thank you, Stephen. I'm a psychic medium, which means that I connect with people in spirit. And I'm also a hermetic astrologer. And I really liked your introduction because so many times clients ask us about relationships. And I think that many times people want to say to their friend or to that person, oh, it'll be okay, it'll work out. But as you pointed out, our work really involves tuning into a person, looking at what is in their best interest, whether that's their career or a relationship. And I've certainly learned a lot about relationships through my discussions with clients. And you quite rightly point out that sometimes it is in our best interest to say, you know, that the compatibility is not right and it's the good decision to move on. So we help people with these difficult decisions and we're able to provide insight into relationship dynamics and also future possibilities. So I really enjoyed your intro, Stephen, and I'm excited about the show this evening.
So am I. What have you got planned for us? Why don't you tell us what's on the agenda tonight?
Well, this evening our guest is Evans Bowen. Evans has been with us before. She's a very interesting lady, and she's spent about 20 years actively involved in the consciousness movement, and she studied with many wonderful teachers, and she's been very involved with tarot, mediumship and mastery with Rachel Sally, who's an absolutely wonderful wonderful lady, wonderful teacher, an outstanding medium. Evans is also very much involved in Egyptian mythology, theosophy, channeling, and sacred sites. She studied a lot with a lady called Paige Bryant, but she's also studied shamanism and even astrology. And she's really going to be sharing with us this evening her recent spiritual journey. She does a lot of traveling abroad and spoke with us about Egypt and the ancient sites of Egypt on one show. But this evening we'll be talking about her pilgrimage across Spain. Are you still there, Stephen?
Oh, yes, actually I am. I'm excited to hear from Miss Bowens tonight. So this is going to be an interview that I'm going to be taking notes from.
Good. Well, I'll go ahead and welcome Evans to the show. How are you doing, Evans?
I'm doing great, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me on again.
You're welcome. Welcome home.
Well, thank you. I just got home last week from Spain.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I can't wait to ask you all about it, Evans. I guess the first question I want to ask you is, on behalf of our listeners, can you explain why Spain? Why you chose to go on this lengthy journey to Spain?
Okay. There is a very famous ancient pilgrimage across northern Spain that we now refer to as the Camino, or the Way in Spanish. And this pilgrimage actually was, it's a Catholic Christian pilgrimage, but it actually was well before Christian times into pre-Celtic times. And there's been a resurgence in this interest in this particular pilgrimage. It was very popular in the Middle Ages. Millions of pilgrims went to the great holy city of Santiago in western Spain to see the bones of Saint James, who was apostle of Christ. And it was a way to get your indulgences and buy your way to heaven during the medieval times. It fell out of favor during the Reformation when Martin Luther said, we don't need to buy indulgences anymore. But it's had a resurgence in the last 30 years, and particularly the last 10 years, as people see the need to reconnect themselves with spirit and take these journeys into challenge themselves on every level, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So I first heard about the Camino about 20 years ago when I read Shirley MacLaine's book about it. And she's still talking about it 20 years later on Oprah just recently. That's how much it has informed her life. And then about 5 years ago, it started coming up. I started reading books about it. A friend who lives in Spain started talking about it. We threw around the idea of going. And then a couple of years ago, I gave my daughter Alexandra a book about it. And she got the Camino bug. And then the movie with Martin Sheen, The Way, came out, and it became even more popular. So about a year and a half ago, she started saying, let's go to the Camino. This is my last summer before I graduate from college. Let's do a mother-daughter trip across the Camino. So I said, yes, and I started preparing for it about a year ago. My children are grown. I had a long year with elderly parents that finished up. And the summer, the time she had open to go for college, turned out to be 3 days after my 50th birthday. So no better way to celebrate a milestone birthday and get myself ready for the next half of my life than to take a grand pilgrimage.
Interesting. That's fascinating, Evans. I admire you. So tell us, how many miles did you walk and how long did it take?
Well, we left the United States on May 1st, and we started walking on May 3rd. And we are not big hikers and campers, so, you know, I had to work on getting my stamina up. So we decided that the best thing for us was about 12 miles a day. That's about five to 6 hours a day of walking. We felt that was a goal. So we gave ourselves 5 weeks to walk. And we started on a Saturday morning on a cold, rainy day in the Pyrenees. And we basically averaged 12 miles a day, every day, for 5 weeks. Ending up through many, many different types of terrain, weather, several different whole states of provinces of Spain, to the other side, almost to the coast. We were just 60 miles from the coast in the holy city of Santiago, which is the Spanish word for St. James, and it's the third holiest city in Christendom after Rome and Jerusalem. So we walked every day, rain or shine, wind, cold, mountains, flat, uphill, downhill, for five weeks solid.
Incredible. So, Evans, before you went on the trip, mm-hmm. obviously we know it's a pilgrim's journey.
Yes.
And you've explained that in the Middle Ages, people used to walk the Camino.
Mm-hmm.
Here and now, what were your objectives for taking this incredible journey? And what is the reason most people walk the Camino?
Well, everyone has a list of reasons, and I certainly had a long list of reasons. You know, time with my daughter, celebrating this birthday. It made me more physically fit. For my daughter, it was more of a physical challenge and a way to get away from the world. And I found a lot of the pilgrims, it was a physical challenge. It was a historic, you know, seeing through these beautiful historic towns, church and cathedral, and walking in the path of Charlemagne. He walked the Camino. Every great saint walks the Camino. In fact, I was lucky that this year is the 800th anniversary of Saint Francis of Assisi walking the Camino. And so at the end, I went to the convent of St. Francis, the monastery of St. Francis in Santiago, and got a special certificate they only give out every 100 years to commemorate that. So, I wanted to walk this particular path, which is called Santiago de Compostela, St. James, James the Field of Stars, because this particular ley line, this energetic line through northern Spain, is aligned to the Milky Way galaxy.
So it is along a ley line.
Yeah, it's a ley line. It's a ley line. The energy lines that run through the Earth, this is a particular ley line that is also connected to the Milky Way galaxy. So you were basically walking along the Milky Way galaxy. And you're also walking along this line that millions of people, including these great saints, have said is important. So their devotion, their desires, their looking for miracles and asking for miracles are in the stones and embedded in every aspect of this particular pilgrimage. And so there's so much energy that you find along this, and so much anticipation of yourself, for yourself, and by the other pilgrims that you walk with, that makes it very, very different. I mean, I live near the Appalachian Trail, and it's a wonderful place, and it's sacred to walk, but it doesn't have the same intensity of energy that this Camino has, and that's why I believe it's calling people for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. And I feel that the Camino, because it has had all this energy put into it by these millions of pilgrims, is almost its own entity, and you almost interact with it, and you bring yourself to it, and the Camino gives back the gift that you've come to receive.
Wow, how interesting. Well, Evans, can you explain to our listeners what ley lines are?
Well, there's many ley lines around the world, and they're energetic lines that are natural within the Earth, And when they cross, and the, some of the more well-known ones are in England, the St. Michael line, that is usually a holy place, and known or unknown, conscious or unconscious, that's where the peoples of the earth have put special sites, cathedrals, stone circles, things, and that like Stonehenge and Glastonbury, the sacred sites of the Western of our Western traditions. And in the United States, the Great Serpent Mound is also on a ley line. They're just powerful energy lines that come through the earth, and so they become more powerful like Stonehenge is. As people come there and worship there, it feeds the energy of those lines, and so the Camino has great energy to it. And as we know, a lot of these rocks are made of quartz crystal, and the crystal holds the memory. It holds the memory of the devotion of these people, and I found it much easier to get in that spirit of devotion as I walked, because I was walking with, I really felt that I was walking in the footsteps of all those people. I was with those people back 1,000 years as I walked. I thought about those pilgrims many, many times.
That's fascinating, Evans. So literally, many of the sacred sites across the world, so in Europe, for example, cathedrals and churches, are actually built on these ley lines, these energy lines.
Correct. And so therefore they hold this more intense power of the earth. And so when the Gothic cathedral builders, these amazing monuments to God, built them, and they have special sacred geometry, so you take the sacred geometry and the beautiful colors of the stained glass windows and the gold of the fronts and the devotion of the people and the energy of the earth, and you bring that all together in a beautiful package. That's why we keep being called to these sites, and why we can meditate and read and do these wonderful things in our own homes. When you go to these sites, it's like, I almost have no other better way to say it. It's almost like getting an electric shock. It's like going there and saying, I want more too. I want the power of these sites. I want to reach heavens. And because of the energy built up over the centuries in these places, whether they be churches or stone circles or these, those allow you to get into that space and change you, and for the rest of your life you have that information to access. And you know, I went to Canterbury Cathedral many years ago, and I went to Chartres Cathedral in France, one of the greatest cathedrals, quite a few years ago, and I still think about those days, and I think how eternal those days are. And each day on the Camino was like eternity. It was like I lived a whole lifetime each day, and it was such a joyful experience. The days that were hard physically were still a joy to be walking this ancient path. It was such a great privilege to be walking with the saints, the people that have held the light for thousands of years.
And so what did you feel as you were reaching these important points along the journey, Evans? Did you feel spirit? Did you feel inspired? Did you receive any messages or guidance for yourself?
Well, as you would anticipate the great cathedrals, and there were some unbelievably spectacular cathedrals along this route, particularly the Burgos Cathedral. I've never seen anything like it, and I've been to many, many cathedrals. There's that anticipation, and you can't wait to see it, and you think and you see that as the pilgrims saw it. But I really loved the countryside. The countryside of Spain is absolutely spectacularly beautiful with wheat and flowers. The poppy fields were amazing. My daughter loves animals, so we saw and petted every animal, every kitten, every calf, and there was just the true joy of being. When you're outside walking in nature so many days in a row and you've got those wonderful endorphins running through you, I just felt, for me, it was just the pure joy of living, just being alive. And because I couldn't worry about my bank account, I couldn't worry about what people were thinking about me, all I had to do was walk and see the sky and see the trail. There was just so much joy, and to spend so many days in joy, the joy is still, it is overwhelming to me just thinking about it.
The joy of being free to simply connect with spirit
with
and connect with oneself.
Absolutely, with oneself. And I purposely did not walk and talk with people. I just walked the path to be alive. And then in the evenings, we had just amazing times visiting with people from around the world, Australians and New Zealanders and Canadians and Germans and French and Danish, just all with this one shared purpose of being alive, walking this ancient path together. And we would have amazing camaraderie, and there was instant connection with everybody you knew. Everybody was friendly, and that is one thing I've brought back, is wanting to be friendlier to people, wanting to connect with people more deeply, because it was just such a joy to make friends. And when we all got to Santiago, the congratulations of this huge monumental task of walking 500 miles and the sacrifices we had made to stay in these, you stay in hostels. So you're sleeping in a room with 30 other people, sharing a couple of showers and a couple of toilets with people. You have just one set of clothes on your back. So you have sacrificed greatly to do this. You know, I would go 10 days without even riding in a car, just only walking. And it just puts you in a different time and a different space. And I think it really allows people to go deep within themselves. And I met people who had really worked out issues in their lives. And a lot of people were in transition in their lives, trying to figure out what was next. And, you know, I was also in this transition, and it was just a way of saying, okay, this is time for myself. This is time for me to be in touch with God in terms of, in the universe, in terms of nature and these great historic sites.
It's incredible. And Evans, I know that you've traveled extensively and
yes.
You've spent a lot of time in Egypt.
Correct.
And you've seen incredible sights and had some amazing experiences in Egypt. How did this spiritual journey compare with your experiences in Egypt?
Well, it was equally wonderful. It was very different. And I always looked, I've been to Egypt 3 times now, and I always looked at going to Egypt as very much a pilgrimage. Because although I wasn't walking, you know, it was an arduous journey. I was going to a very foreign country. I didn't, you know, quite know what I was facing. But I was, again, going to these incredible power sites where people have worshipped, these temples in Luxor, where people have worshipped for 5, 6, 10,000 years. And the power that's there. And, you know, you don't take that a lot of people, the tourists, do take it lightly, and they're taking pictures. But those of us who go for pilgrims, who go to those power sites to stand in that power, they are incredible. The first time I ever stood at Hatshepsut's temple, I never intended to. I just started crying. I could not look at it. It was just too much for me. I never expected to have that reaction. But it just is such a powerful moment. And you're never the same again when you have gone to stand where the gods have been in ancient Egypt. Or you go and you stand in these cathedrals that are just amazing monuments to God that people have spent lifetimes building. You come, if you go with the reverence and the desire to be changed, you do come back changed. And particularly with Egypt, people who go with such sacred intention to be with the gods and to communicate with the ancient wisdom that we're trying to remember again, the ancients knew things that we've forgotten and we're remembering. You do come back changed, and I see people's lives, including my life, change dramatically after these trips. And it's still too early to see what the Camino has done for me, although I've already seen changes in how I feel and opportunities that are opening up. And they say the Camino really starts when you come home, when you start implementing what you have experienced along the journey, and when you've taken that time out to make yourself different.
Do you find, Evans, that on these incredibly spiritual journeys, these pilgrimages, that you have realizations about yourself, about life, about spirit, about the world, that you wouldn't necessarily have if you hadn't been on a pilgrimage?
Oh, definitely. Well, of course, I absolutely love to travel, but it's been since 2005 that I really, really started going to places specifically to meet the gods, to have this experience of being in this ancient land. And even though you're not getting it consciously as you're standing there, as you may not be understanding exactly what's happening, that information, the energy of those places, the knowledge that those places hold, get in your aura. They become part of you. And down the road, you have access to this information for the rest of your life. You know, I know that I will think about standing in Shark Cathedral and walking the labyrinth in there. And then now that I know about the Camino and I've learned more through my other travels, I can go back and access that knowledge of Shark Cathedral and know it's there for me. So I might not say have a grand thought in the at the moment, but those experiences are always there for me for the rest of my life. And I thought I would get to work out all sorts of things and think lots of thoughts on the Camino. Quite frankly, I didn't have a whole lot of thoughts on the Camino. I was just in the moment. And to have, and that's, isn't that what we're all trying to gather? You know, we talk about, Eckhart Tolle talks about being in the now. I spent 5 weeks in the now, more than I've ever spent in my life as I walked. And there weren't a lot of thoughts. It was just the joy of the moment and the triumph of getting up those hills and the experience of meeting people and challenging myself on every level. That's what I learned.
And Evans, you mentioned the ancients, our great ancestors that were building cathedrals or building temples, pyramids. You mentioned that they had knowledge that we don't have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm drawing a parallel, I guess, between your example of removing yourself from the day-to-day life in which we're so consumed by what's going on that we're not necessarily in the now, and taking yourself away from that to a time and space that allows you to connect with yourself, to connect more deeply, taking our lives, our world as it stands today, in comparison somehow with a person's everyday life, and perhaps disconnection from the deeper source within oneself and spirit. How would you compare that with the focused knowledge and magic of the ancients?
Well, the ancient people, the Egyptians and the medieval Christians, the medieval Catholics that walked these paths, their entire life was their spiritual world. There was nothing separate. The spiritual life was constant in their life. They did not separate it out as we do, where we have our work days and we have our times with our children and we have our jobs. And we then may go to church Christmas. We may think about our spirituality for a few moments every day. But in those ancient worlds, in the medieval world too, those were completely infused. And if you go to the museums of the Middle Ages, there is no art except sacred art. None whatsoever. The only thing they did was that. And then the same with the Egyptians. The only art was these temples and building them. And so we have fragmented our lives very deeply. And, you know, one of the things I try to do, and in my website, it's called Making Every Step of Life Sacred. It's bringing back that constant contact. And you may not be in prayer, you may not be saying the rosary, you may not be chanting, but knowing that your life is infused with the spirituality 100% of the day. My teacher says, you know, you never go more than a few seconds without a prayer. Your whole life becomes a prayer. And I think when you go to these places and you ask for that in these power spots, in these ancient spots, every day your life becomes a little bit more of that constant prayer. And the prayer is coming and going. You know, it's the hearing the higher self, and it's also, you know, giving thanks and gratitude. And there was so much gratitude in the Camino. All the pilgrims were so grateful for everything. In 5 weeks, I never heard a harsh word. There was never impatience out of another pilgrim. Sometimes we might grouse about having French fries yet again, and we might complain a little bit about a snorer, but it was always lighthearted because our lives were stripped to the basics, the true basics of humanness, which was walking, one set of clean clothes, lucky to have a bed, you know, just the true basics of life. You know, every day I hand washed my clothes out. And I changed my clothes. I only had two sets of clothing. And so your life becomes really simple. And so then every little thing you get is just the biggest gift, and you have so much gratitude. And people talk about the miracles of the Camino. First of all, people walk the Camino for centuries to receive the miracles at these shrines. But every day there are little tiny miracles. Every moment is a miracle on the Camino. And you have nothing, but yet you seem to have exactly what another pilgrim needs. And it's remarkable to see. Alexander, my daughter, had met a young man a few days before, and we saw him again at this little town. And he was like, I don't know what to do. I can't go any further. My boots are killing me. I can't walk in them anymore. My walking sandals have broken. I don't have the money to go back to the town. I cannot go any further. I don't know what to do. And she said, wait a minute. I brought a second pair of sneakers because I couldn't decide which pair were correct for me. And Alexandra's a very tall girl. Well, sure enough, this second set of sneakers fit this young friend perfectly. And he was able to go on. So at the perfect moment, when he had nowhere to go, no place to buy another pair of shoes, here she had a second pair. She was probably the only person on the trail who had a second pair of sneakers. There were miracles like that every day. So it had such a magical quality to it. And pilgrims were always there for each other, always there for each other.
It reminds you that we're connected and we need to be there for each other.
Exactly. And I think that I met lots of people who have done the Camino twice. Three times, four times. They do it every few years. I met a man who's done it 13 times. And it was I think a lot of it is the culture of the Camino. It's so loving, so giving, and so honest that people want to come back for that because that's what's missing in modern society, rush, modern society.
Yes, it makes me want to hop on a plane and go and walk the Camino, Evans. Well, Evans, we're going to take a short commercial break, but we'll be back in just a moment and we'll continue picking your brains and asking about this incredible journey.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
So, Evans, I want to take you back, actually, to the beginning of the journey. Oh, no, sorry, not the beginning of the journey. I want to take you back to the end of the journey when you arrived in Santiago. Tell us a little bit about how that felt. So you'd completed this incredible walk and arrived in this third most sacred city. What were you feeling? What was going on in your mind?
Well, first of all, we were so sad to stop our walking. We loved walking so much. Both of us were tearful the final day, thinking, it's over. You know, we aren't going to walk anymore. And yet there was also this anticipation that we were finally getting to our goal that we had been working for 5 weeks. And through those 5 weeks, we rarely talked about Santiago. It was too far away. It was too much in the distance. So it was only the last week or so we started talking about Santiago, and I realized about a week out that I was going to be arriving right at Pentecost, which is one of the holy days in Catholicism, in the church, and it was the graduation day of the apostles. Jesus had ascended, and the apostles were sitting in the upper room, including St. James. He was one of the 12 apostles, and they didn't quite know what to do. And this is when the story of the mighty wind came and the tongues of fire came down on the apostles, and they graduated. This was their message to go out, the gospel of Jesus. Anyway, here I was. It was Pentecost Day, and I thought, what more perfect day to arrive in Santiago than this holy day, the day of graduation of the apostles? And I really felt like it was my graduation day too. I had accomplished this big monumental goal, physically, emotionally, spiritually, leaving my home for, I was gone 7 weeks, which is a long time to be gone. And it was just a really triumphal experience. And the church is glorious. And what I loved about the cathedral in Santiago is all the cathedrals around Europe still have mass every day. They still have these masses. But when you go to Santiago, people come from around the world, not necessarily walking, tour buses. You know, it's a major tourist site in order to go to mass, in order to worship at the bones of Saint James. And so there was so much life in the cathedral. Every day at noon, there's a pilgrim's mass. First of all, you stand in line and you get your official certificate that you have completed this this long journey. You have a book that you get stamps in every day to prove that you've walked, proved you've been along. And every pilgrim cherishes that, the proof that they have done this. And then you go to pilgrim's mass. And there are thousands of people every day at this mass. It seats 1,000, and there's people along the side. And the priest reads the names, where the people have come from and how far they've walked. And it's just such a great celebration. And I think there is so much life to that cathedral because there is this active mass, this active glory to God, every day, day in, day out, by thousands of people. And the Santiago Cathedral has an amazing, special feature to it, and that's the Botafumeiro, which is an enormous incense censer that 8 men raise up with it, is incense coming out of it, and it they fling it through the entire cathedral, and it's an enormous, like grand finale to have this big show of the incense blessing the pilgrims. Originally, it was kind of to help with the smell of the pilgrims, because we don't smell all that well after walking, but it's such a glorious show, and the organ is playing, and it's just an amazing feeling to have accomplished that and to have made it on foot to see this. And everyone feels like it's just for them. And there are several rituals of the pilgrim. One we are not allowed to do anymore, which is touch the tree of Jesse as you walk in. That's not allowed, but you still can see it. And you go to see the bones of St. James in the crypt, the casket that's in. And then you walk behind the altar and you pet the giant statue of St. James and thank him for the safe arrival. And all of those things that have always been done, just makes you part of that communion of pilgrims and saints. And I was really glad I had arrived in Santiago early. I didn't realize how much I needed extra days there to see my fellow pilgrims, because you'd be walking down the street and you'd see somebody you had seen a week before. And we went to dinner and we talked about our experiences. And I needed those days to reenter. Some pilgrims then walk on to the ocean. I did not have time to walk on the ocean, and I chose to then go to the town of Avila near Madrid to see the convent of Teresa of Avila, one of the great, great saints of the medieval Christian times. And that was kind of my grand finale, was to go to her convent and church. And so it had this kind of wonderful, grand ending to this experience, and you felt like you had been blessed, and you took that. I feel that blessing still on me from having been in that cathedral. And they have English Mass every day, so I went to the English Mass and so was able to hear the words, these ancient words that have been spoken for thousands of years that have so much meaning.
Well, Evans, I want to ask you more about Christianity, and particularly your understanding and awareness of esoteric Christianity. Could you explain to us what esoteric Christianity is or stands for?
Yes. Well, all religions have several levels. There's the level that is the everyday level, that is what is mostly talked about and put out. But every great religious tradition has an esoteric side. The esoteric side of Islam is Sufism. There's the esoteric side of Judaism, which is the Kabbalah and Kabbalist. And Christianity also has a very esoteric side. In our lifetimes, I was raised a fundamentalist, literalist Christianity, where every word of the Bible is literally true. And that feeds a large group of people. But as I got older, it no longer fed me. So I started to see gradually Christianity through kind of a larger lens of seeing it through myth and story and history and how people thought. But I also, each religion has their grand stories. And the story of Jesus is the grand story of our walk to enlightenment. We can't get over Jesus. We still think of him and venerate him because he showed us the way to enlightenment, just like the Buddha did. And so when you see Christianity through these much larger lenses and know that all the three great religions I was just talking about, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all have their roots in Egypt. Christianity came out of the roots of Egypt, and there's stories about Christ going to Egypt and being initiated in the pyramids. There's stories of Christ going to India and being initiated there. And don't forget, as a baby, Jesus went to Egypt. So Egypt the great wisdom of Egypt came out through Christianity. And we're just, Christianity and Judaism and Islam is just the latest version of this great wisdom. And so when we only see it through the narrow literalness, we miss the beautiful ways it can change our lives. And one of the things that, because I see Christianity different, a little different than the average person, but and there's beautiful books written about seeing these things in a different light. And one of the beautiful things I've learned is that the Lord's Prayer, which has been said, you know, billions of times, when you really break it down, it's the beautiful seven great laws of the universe. The Hermeticism is right there in the Lord's Prayer. We say, as a, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, that's the same thing as above, so below. But one of the great things that really I enjoyed was the love of the Virgin Mary in the Christian church. And as we went into the age of Pisces, into a much more patriarchal age, we lost the goddess. But we really didn't lose the goddess. The goddess has always been with us in Christianity. She just became the Virgin Mary. And you couldn't go 2 feet in Spain without the Virgin Mary being there, holding Jesus. It's the same beautiful statues that we see in ancient Egypt of Isis holding the golden child baby Horus. And so as I saw, the goddess was everywhere in all these great churches to the goddess. And Mary Magdalene was there. I went to some convents of Mary Magdalene as her resurgence of being also the other side of Christ, the feminine side of Christ. I just love seeing her in the shrines to her and the offerings to her. And I went to one church where the Virgin Blanca, where she was. There were so many miracles there that the Camino changed its course to go through that church to venerate this amazing statue. So, you know, I saw what most people would not see as the goddess. To me, it was that lovely feminine side of God, and Jesus is showing us the way to enlightenment. And the beauty of the sacraments, of our desire to become and to take on some of the aspects of Christ, is through the ritual of the sacraments. So there's so much beauty that can be brought into our everyday lives from seeing it through this bigger picture. We don't have to change religions. We can see it in any religion that we have available to us.
And we need to question, I think, Evans. I often feel that God gave us a brain so that we can actually absorb information from different sources and consider, cogitate, and arrive at the truth. And the truth is quite simple. You know, you mentioned that the Lord's Prayer is a reference to spiritual truths, the seven spiritual truths. And really, I think when we search for truth, and we question what God would really want and what God would expect of us, it's actually quite simple.
It is. It really is. And I think when you go on a pilgrimage, which is so different than being a tourist, you know, you go with such deep intention and you have a different attitude. The good things that happen on the pilgrimage and the bad things, or supposedly bad things, all inform you about who you are. It's the trials and tribulations and your triumph over them. You know, for me, climbing high mountains, one day I had 10 miles in a 30-mile-an-hour headwind, making it more like 20. I didn't think I was ever, and there was no way to stop. But I triumphed over that, and I made it, even though I was exhausted. Those inform you, where as a tourist you might be irritated. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, they've lost my luggage. When you become a pilgrim, you take everything to its simplest common thing, And so it's easier to have that joy of being brought into you because you've peeled off every layer that our modern lives have given us. Down to your mode of transportation. Now, I've been on many pilgrimages that I've driven to that were just as meaningful. But we can all do that. We don't have to walk the Camino. We don't have to go to Egypt. We can all pull our lives down to the simplest elements every day to find that gratitude and joy and triumph over those tougher times.
Those are beautiful words, Evans. That's a wonderful, wonderful message for everybody. It really is. Now, I want to ask you, as you were on this experience and facing that headwind, mm-hmm. struggling but determined to get up that hill, do you feel that you were more in tune with the lessons of life as you walk the Camino? So we say in that, and I know that you teach tarot, you have an incredible knowledge of tarot. We say that the cards in the major arcana represent the lessons, the opportunities, the joys, the sorrows, the struggles of life in human form. Were you able to correlate those lessons, those spiritual truths, with experiences along the Camino?
Oh, definitely, because every day there was a lesson on the Camino. There was a challenge, you know, physically and mentally, emotionally, you know, people you would meet would bring up ideas and thoughts, and I had a Kindle with me, so I was reading books, and about 2 weeks into the Camino, I was reading a lot of Buddhism because as I talk about Christianity, I also really have such great reverence for Buddhism, and it has really informed my life greatly. I was reading a book, and she says, it's not about finding the answers. It's about losing the questions. And that's a Zen phrase. And that really informed the rest of my trip. Not about finding the answers, it's about losing the questions. Not about trying to figure out everything of life, not trying to figure out exactly what am I supposed to do next. You know, we're such a goal-oriented society. Okay, you've got to have your plan, you've got to have your mission statement. And it was about just becoming the question. And becoming whatever life presented you in the moment. How were you going to react? Were you going to react with anger? Were you going to be upset? And in one time I got lost from Alexandra. I took a wrong turn and she couldn't find me. I couldn't find her. My cell phone was dead. How was I going to face that? And I remember saying, you know, okay, angels, I need some help here. I need some help. I can't find my child. You know, how am I going to get out of this? And a few minutes later, on this very empty road, a little car came along with a couple, and I waved them down, and I said, how far is it to here? And I said, can you really please take me? I need to get to this little hotel where we had planned on spending the night. And they took me, and the people of Spain are so proud of their Camino. It is so part of their culture. They are so good to the pilgrims, and they are so helpful to us. So they took me to the hotel, and I was able to get a hold of her. And, you know, it was a very anxious moment. You know, we were quite separated, but it resolved itself. You know, we were able to overcome it. And, you know, how did we react in that moment? That was kind of part of the process. And it was wonderful to see how we were at our hardest moments as well as our most joyous moments. And I'll tell you, looking at those field of poppies, playing with the calves, petting kittens were such joyous moments. And you have nothing to distract you. You have nothing to distract you. All you have is this beauty to look at.
Amazing. Well, Evans, tell us, if our listeners now or in the future want to learn more about your journey across the Camino, more about your knowledge on tarot and your explorations of spirituality, how can they learn more? How can they find you?
Well, I've been writing a blog for a little over a year and a half now, and I did document every day on the Camino. Every morning while my daughter was still asleep, because she wasn't getting up really early, I would send 5 pictures and about 500 words about the day before. And every day is now on my blog, and it gives you a real feel for the Camino and some of our struggles and some of our joys and what it was like, our day-to-day life on the Camino. So every day is documented on that. And then as I teach tarot, I put up the cards that I've been teaching about and my other spiritual experiences with teachers and my trips to Egypt. And we've talked about Egypt before. I happened to get a front row view to the 2011 revolution. I was there at the pyramids when that broke out. And that was an amazing experience to watch the world change. So all of that is on my blog, theperpetualpilgrim.com. And I joke, when I first named it The Perpetual Pilgrim, I thought it was about going to Egypt on air-conditioned buses. But it turns out, when you put yourself out like that and say, this is what I'm going to be, turns out I had to walk. I had no idea I was going to have to walk as a true pilgrim with my pilgrim staff and my pilgrim shell. So kind of be careful what you name yourself and what you wish for, because you're going to become it. So I've decided my next website's going to be The Posh Traveler. But for now, it's The Perpetual Pilgrim.
The Perpetual Pilgrim.
And the tarot is that interior pilgrimage.
It sounds like an amazing trip for an amazing person, Evans, and it's always a joy to have you on the show. I really want to thank you for sharing your experience with us.
Well, thank you. I still feel so bubbling over with joy, the joy of pure living from the experience.
Well, we can tell. I feel uplifted just listening to you, and you've shared some very important spiritual messages with us as well. Tell us again, Evans, the website is theperpetualpilgrim.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it sure is. The Perpetual Pilgrim.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Evans. We wish you all the best for your future travels.
Thank you. I think I'm staying home for at least a week or two.
Oh, good. A little rest. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. And a big thanks to Evans Bowen for sharing her experiences on The Psychic Viewpoint. Just a reminder, you can find her at theperpetualpilgrim.com. That's a lovely alliterative website address, theperpetualpilgrim.com. Before we get into the banter, I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements. We want you to stay tuned for the second half of our show. That's right. We have a whole other hour left in the show where you're going to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychic. So we're going to announce the call-in number later. Be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you couldn't catch last week's show on tarot and astrology, you can find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from paranormal development to reincarnation and everything having to do with the how-tos of psychic development. Again, that is psychicbloggers.com. If you're interested in getting a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about her or him and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic in this scam-free zone, psychicaccess.com. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, Maureen, let me ask you, what did you learn or what resonated with you from Evan's overview there of that incredible journey?
Well, I would love to put myself, it's ideal timing for me to just take off if I could get my other part of my tools needed to go, because I'm free as a bird now, right? I'd love to, because many, many years, well, I'm not going to go into many, many years. It wasn't the year 1500, but there is a place in Mexico City. It's about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Has anybody ever, what's that? Interesting.
That was my house alarm.
That's beautiful.
It is, just as you
interesting
say.
I just talked about the Lady of Guadalupe in New Mexico City. A lot of people don't know. And I did. I was many years ago, and it was a pilgrim. Just you know what she's talking about. It's like a lot of people. Have you ever heard of the Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City? Okay, so, and I would love, Egypt. I mean, my gosh, we've been talking about that. But I love listening about her journeys. My older sister does this stuff, and her idea of a nice trip is not staying at the Four Seasons, although she could. She goes and walks up Mount Fuji with some donkeys and has blisters and is in excruciating pain. That, to me, sounds like a pretty good journey. Myself, or she went to Himalayas last year. She does these things, and I just, I don't know about you guys. The only thing I've ever done was a long time ago, and now I would really like to do it at my age now. I think I would really love to have the opportunity, and I would think it's attainable at some point. And listening to her, and like I was reading the show page, I loved how it was written, Steve, I believe you wrote it, about wouldn't it be nice just to get it going, just go for it, do your thing. And take off. And
maybe I was having a bad day when I wrote that.
No, you weren't.
Sometimes.
No. The show page was very good, because you're saying it's true. When we all like to get, but a lot of people's idea of going on holiday is not the journey of what she's talking about. Is, I mean, my gosh, it doesn't get any real or more authentic or. It's just getting right into it. I mean, come on. Mexico City is about the closest I got. Actually, that was a very interesting experience. It's a really neat story about Our Lady of Guadalupe and what went on there. But I didn't even probably appreciate it as much as I would now anyway. But I'm listening to her. Last year we used to talk about Egypt. I have my eye on that place. Have you been there, Steve?
I haven't, but I would love
to go. Yeah, yeah. But it was a really great guest. She was very – it was lovely listening to her about what she's going, doing her thing, and doing – and it's a great feeling to be in that – well, in that position. Some people don't get to that position until it's too late. They always wanted to or do something. Now, that's my idea of a journey and a holiday, yeah. Sometimes a Four Seasons hotel, but no, I'd really like to go walk. I find that really, that'll be my next ride of a lifetime, to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, well, I might go with you. Maybe we have a team pilgrimage.
See, every time you talk about that, alarm's going. Yeah, you.
I need to fix it. I don't know why my alarm's going off. It's probably a cat.
It wasn't happening before we started talking. So I think
we've been. Well, listen, I want to ask Stephen about, to make some comments about esoteric Christianity. So we want to know what you think of the term esoteric Christianity, Stephen, and speak for a couple of minutes while I fix my alarm.
Yeah, we better make sure you're not getting burgled there. That'd be a pilgrimage of a different kind, wouldn't it?
It would.
esoteric Christianity is often referred to as Gnosticism, like spelled with a G, like Gnosticism. It comes from the Latin word, the Greek word, gnosis. Which is actually, we have a remnant of that in our modern English with the word know. If anybody's ever wondered why we don't pronounce how on earth the K got slapped onto the word know, it's because it comes from the Greek. And gnosis means knowledge. And it's a form of Christianity that died out due to persecution. The Christian authorities hated esoteric Christianity about as badly as they hated every other religion that wasn't Christianity. And if you're a metaphysicist, then you know it's one of those areas that's very advanced. It in the way it comprehends and contains a lot of the old traditions. You know, the roots for Western theology go back to Egypt, but they also plunge deeper than that. They go to ancient Babylonia and Sumer, and it's a way for us to keep these old traditions alive. You know, Miss Bowens, she referenced Pisces and its association with Christianity, and she lamented about how, you know, we sort of lost our connection to the goddess. Well, you know, the sign of Pisces is 180 degrees away from the sign of Virgo, and Virgo represents both Mary as Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary, and these are sort of in opposition to Christ. So it's almost sort of baked right in there that we would perhaps focus on one and need to be reminded about the other. And esoteric Christianity, Gnosis, it helps us to do that, you see. So that's why it's worthy of being studied today. Now, the pilgrimages themselves, what I think is most interesting about them is that In a horoscope, in astrology, the ninth house rules over pilgrimages, long journeys, special journeys, but it's also the house of God. So in the astrological tradition, in the esoteric tradition, there's no difference between long journeys and your relationship with the divine and also your higher education. All three of these things are compressed into sort of one rubric, one category, and they're very related. That's why making long journeys is such a religious or spiritual, better said, experience. It can bring you closer to the divine, without a doubt. And I definitely can attest to this from experience. I've crawled all over the skin of this earth, and in a most unconventional manner. I'm definitely not a tourist. When I was 15, I snuck away from home and took a Greyhound bus thousands of miles away from my native North Carolina to Los Angeles. I was alone, and it's by the grace of the divine that I made it back in one piece, you see. So there's a hugely spiritual component to travel, not touring, but travel. And even touring is also spiritually beneficial. Mark Twain said that travel is fatal to bigotry, and I agree with him there, Steve.
Yes, I agree with you, and I think it's very interesting that you point out that travel, visiting cultures and lands afar, can be a very spiritual and very educational experience, and these things do all fall under the same category in astrology.
They do, and the 13th century astrologer Guido Bonatus, in his famous Liber Astronomiae, the Book of Astronomy, he instructs us astrology students to be able to comprehend a person's soul, the nature of it, its goodness or badness, based upon the ninth house.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Absolutely. You can look at the ninth house as an index, as it were, of the quality or lack thereof of a person's soul. And of course, from the ninth house, you can also judge what the person's experience will be like on their long journeys, you know, whether or not they'll have good experiences, whether or not they'll encounter difficulties, you know, because sure, we've advanced since the 13th century, but human nature being as it is, there have always been those who prey on travelers. And this hasn't changed throughout the depth and the breadth of human history.
It's very true. It's very true. Thank you, Stephen.
Sure.
Maureen, Evans was speaking about the ancients and the knowledge that they had, the awareness that they had, that perhaps we've lost touch with in our modern times. What do you think are the most important things the ancients knew that we don't pay enough attention to?
Exploration and everything. And why I'm saying that, I don't understand, you know, it's not about what I believe, but think about things that when I'm going to lie and integrate something, because Stephen brought something up about taking off and whatever. I remember a couple times I went on my father's, he's a yacht racer, hobby thing, but he would go into Mexico. And I remember when I was younger, and a couple times, it was twice I got to go. He wanted to throw my butt off of there. But the navigation at that time isn't like it is for the big yachts, racing boats now. And I remember talking to one of the guys, looking up at the stars, the astronomy. And I kept thinking, how many people have gone on these waters prior to, heading towards something that they've never been to before because they were into Mexico. So exploration, I feel that some people, the art of exploring, no matter, she said something at the very end, how did she put it, Steve? She said something, it's not about, how did she say it? It was perfect. It's not about, do you remember what she said?
Anybody? Can't remember.
Stephen, did you remember what she said?
Are you referring to the idea that, in order for a journey to be special, we don't have to, go very far. We can have a special journey right in our own neighborhood.
But also it's not a question of getting the answer that way. It's like, to me, it's the exploration. And by exploration, you'd be open to all and exploring whatever is there. And if it's most important, not important, but I feel that if everybody – I don't know if that even makes sense. That's the first thing I wanted just to say. When I was on the race, one was in Mazatlan, La Paz, and I remember I was really young too, pretty much. I was spacing out like always, but thinking I was always thinking about the idea of exploring on the water and how many other people were in these big boats, not racing like that, but on their way somewhere to explore something. Using the stars as navigation, too. So, I'm eccentric. Maybe I'm not.
They were literally guided by the stars.
Yeah, well, that's what their navigation was. And so it was interesting because the navigation's changed quite a bit to this day. And I remember, and still at that time, they did use a system. It was higher tech in it was early 70s. But the thing it was still so much about it. Now it's completely computerized, but. I don't know, exploring. I don't know if that answers the question you're asking.
It does.
So I'm going to go explore the world with you guys. I'm
going to should. Team trip.
Yeah.
Egypt.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be nice.
We could do a series around the world.
I think, we're free to do it, aren't we? I think so. I think the three of us right now could do. We're not – my daughter, she's settled for many years and, doing her thing. I'm ready. Come on.
Bring it on.
Actually, I really feel it's interesting when she's talking. I was getting real excited thinking that way. Because years ago, when you're younger and I did certain things. But now I'm now completely free and I'm older. Perhaps it would just be even more cool. I mean, more of a ride of a lifetime. And she actually really inspired me to really think about some things. And I don't want to lose time not doing anything, about it. You know what I mean?
It's true. Every day is to be savored. Every moment is to be savored.
Yeah, and every day we're not always free people to do what we can do or go for it. Really, that's what I think it's all about. Exploration. Let's go explore.
Well, you know what? Let me pop in here and hand out this call-in number so that we can get some callers and we can explore their issues. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that every call is automatically going to be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just relax, listen to the show while you wait. Now, when you get on the line, we ask that you be very clear and very direct with one question. We can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls that are waiting in the queue for a reading. So it's out of fairness to all the other people. Again, that number is 724-444-4851. Thank you. And in fact, I actually have a call from Ohio. That was very fast. Hello, Ohio. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How may I help you?
I'm just looking if you can tell me something about my oldest son. I heard that he was sick, and I was just wondering if you think he's feeling better.
Okay, let's see what we got here. Is he feeling better? Is he in good health?
No.
Is he feeling better? Yeah, let's try the is he. Well, yeah, I'm getting kind of a no answer to the question of is he feeling better. Now, you know, I'm definitely not a physician, so I don't want to attempt to diagnose what's wrong with your son or anything of that nature. But judging from the answer to this question, I would have to say that he actually is in some discomfort. The six of the fire element shows what's happening right now, and it's reversed. And usually this card refers to an energy of being happy, joviality, you know, wanting to be around other people and to, you know, sort of experience life and fun and all of that good stuff. And so it appears to me also that the discomfort that he's in is also perhaps depressing him somewhat. So, I mean, I'm not a physician, but if I could prescribe anything for your son, it would be a support system, because it seems to me as if he's really down in the dumps about whatever's ailing him right now. And perhaps not because, you know, people are ignoring him, but more seems as if he's blocked or impeded from doing or participating in activities that he'd like to do. Do you see what I mean? That's what I think is really happening. However, in the future, I do see that he'll get some relief. Truck. Ma'am?
He does truck pulling. Do you understand me? At fairs, and he travels, he does truck pulling.
Truck pulling?
Yeah, he pulls a truck. It's like a sled. He has his own truck and he pulls a sled behind you.
I've seen those competitions on TV. He must be a muscle man.
Yeah. he has that disease gap. Have you ever heard of gap? Gap? Do you understand me?
You said something about a gap?
That's kind of disease he's supposed to have.
Ah. Okay, well, I think he's... You know, I hope he hasn't damaged his body doing that sort of stuff, because, you know, from what I'm seeing now, he is kind of in some pain. And, you know, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I wouldn't expect him to be doing any truck pullings, you know, today or tomorrow. However, he should bounce back from whatever is ailing him.
And we're supposed to tomorrow night. You don't think he will?
Oh, I'm not going to say I don't think he will. I just don't think he'll be in the top condition for it.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? He might actually. What I would be concerned with is that he. I wouldn't want him to take recourse to, you know, some sort of medicine that would dull his pain in order to allow him to compete. That would be the thing to watch out for, because that will mask something that could be wrong with his body. Yeah, I mean, he definitely needs a checkup, you know, X-rays, the whole nine, by a physician to make sure he hasn't pulled something, you know, or ruptured something, or has some sort of internal injury. And you know, if he's taking some sort of medicine to allow him to perform, this is just going to make a problem worse. That's, from what I'm seeing right now, he should not actually be participating in these activities for the time being. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Well, look, I wish you all the best in that, and I appreciate you calling us up, and I hope your son, you know, he does get some medical attention, and he'll get right back on track. I see if he does go to the doctor, then whatever's wrong, it'll get fixed. In other words, he hasn't crossed the point of no return on any injury yet. Okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, and best of luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, we have a caller from Massachusetts for Maureen.
Thank you, Steve. And hello, this is Maureen. May I have your name, please?
Hi, my name is Dave.
Hi, Dave. What can I help you with?
Just any... thoughts or feelings about the future of my career. It's kind of at a standstill right now. That's my question for you, Maureen.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because I'm limited on time, trying to make it not so general. Are you asking me if there's going to be some positive opportunity coming your way soon, because you've been out there? Because I want to help you the best I can, but if I leave it open too much, I could go forever, and I won't be able to do that. So... are you looking for an opportunity, or there have been one presented to you, so maybe, do you know what I mean? Could you give it a little bit more direct for me?
Yeah, sure. More specific, I guess, is the field that I'm in, hang on. Can I expect anything positive in the future, or should I take in all directions?
I understand. That's great. Okay, Dave. Very good. Very good question. Yes, I do. You know, this is what I'm getting. You've been really, it's like I see you looking out not literally, but kind of looking out, and you've got such great, you've got a great, it's almost like how they say the world's your oyster type of thing going on there. It's like you've got so much knowledge and stuff already in the hand, but you're looking out in a wide, vast body of water, right? And you're still kind of thinking and pondering. It does, and that's a good thing. I feel that's really good because there's so many, much more possibilities. And like you said, it's kind of complicated, whatever the field you're in, you didn't tell me, but there's, you have a great visionary, it's like a man of vision, okay? Of opportunities of all sorts because of it. I don't see you closed up. However, right now, I do get a feeling that you're feeling like you're holding on for dear life to anything that you've created or that's been yours. It's like, I'm not saying you're being paranoid or something. There's something like you're holding on to your creativity or your the work you put in or objects, something that means a lot to you. And I feel that there's perhaps a reason that's coming behind that. I don't know, but it's almost like there's something missing. Things are not what they appear to be. There's incompletion around your work or the work that you're supposed to, the work that I feel that perhaps you're going to be heading towards, it may be different. And, but you have, it's okay that you're in doing what you're, I hope you are getting what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to convey is, great. There's incompletion. There's something else that you can, there's something else you're just almost like you can't quite place it yet, but you're in a direction, even if it doesn't appear like, because it's not like a stagnation, but it doesn't appear like, but on the other hand, it's like I say, you're in between the worlds of it. I do see within the next 3 months, there's going to be quite an opportunity, and a lot of things are changing. It's almost like a big shaking up of what you thought was, that you conformed to, that was just what exactly what was going on. Everything is just suddenly out of hand, and you start rebuilding a completely new foundation. This pertains to your work, and you look extremely happy. The thing of it is very difficult to go through this process. However, I just see you heading in a direction that's just exactly where you should be going, but you are going to have to go through the process of getting all the old order of things that you thought were all working right and working for you in your career. There's something I see you're going to be, maybe different, but It's you're embracing it. It looks like absolutely wonderful. I also feel that what you're doing right now, there's some legal issues going around. Some company has nothing to, you're saying directly in your reading, okay? There's some legal, I don't know what the heck this is all about. And it's almost like needing to get away from it. I see you going off on your own, perhaps. There's something really interesting.
You're right. Okay.
So, but like I said, hang in there. It's going to be, it's hard to go through what you're doing. You're, by choice, going to rebuild a foundation that's going to be really unfamiliar. That I think, in the end, is the most enlightening thing anybody could do for themselves. And this is going to be the main thing. You'll have a foundation that works well for you, and you only knock from conditions. You see, really happy in September. You look like you're really heading towards somewhere very much where you want to be.
Awesome. Okay.
Do whatever you're doing. Just, you know, flow with it, is what I say. I mean, there's other stuff at BM. But you, what you're doing, you're a little bit overly, you're overly qualified, definitely, right now.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm kind of like losing the passion for what I'm doing, so I don't know if I should take a different route. So you're right on, you're absolutely right, yes.
Yeah, but it's okay. Just hang it. I think because you must be doing, you have to be doing this, and I see something else will be open to you. It's almost like one step to the A to B. So it's just, it's just like it is what it is. It's okay. It's all going to be placed. Our world, isn't life interesting? You're going to be fine, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Let us know how you're doing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Thank you today for calling. You can locate Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Please go visit her to get a high-quality reading. Next, we have a caller from Florida for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Florida?
This is Lisa.
Lisa, did you say?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I love your accent.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thank you. How can we help you?
I wanted to ask you about my finances. My work's been really slow lately. When do you feel like it'll be picking up or things will change and be more positive for me on the financial level?
On the financial level, let's have a look. I feel actually that you were doing quite well. And then it seemed to take a downturn. But it seemed to happen quite suddenly, Lisa. I feel as though you were doing well and felt that that would continue. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed to change. It wasn't as though it was a gradual decline. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So it caught you unawares in the sense that you were working away and thought that the outlook was good, and then it just seemed to turn around. It seemed to shift for you. I feel that the outlook at the moment is good. I know that you're not where you want to be just now, but I do feel that the future's looking good. I do feel that you're going to have plenty of work coming. I feel actually that you'll have more work than you can deal with in the medium term. So I feel it's going to take about 6 to 8 weeks for the situation to really improve significantly. But from that point, it's going to improve a lot. And I feel that as you get later in this year, as you get towards the last quarter of the year, actually, you'll have a lot of work, perhaps more than you can handle. So honestly, I don't feel that the situation is as bad as you think. I know that it happens.
Well, I agree with you, because it goes like it'll happen like that, where it'll go dead and then it'll just get slammed. So
yes, that makes
a lot of sense.
That's
and
what
also,
for you.
I'm supposed to get a settlement too. Do you feel that coming?
Well, the second card I've just pulled for you for the present time is the Seven of Pentacles, and that's a good card for finances. It indicates looking at the rewards that we've earned. So I feel that the answer to your question is yes. I don't feel concerned for you, Lisa. I feel that you're going to be just fine. I really do.
Okay. So maybe July will be really rough, and then after that it'll calm down.
I don't feel as though it's going to be rough. I feel as though July will be okay, and then I feel that it starts to improve, but then it improves very significantly for you. I feel that you'll be in really good shape, and particularly by the end of the year, you'll have a lot of business, more than you would anticipate, actually. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lisa. We wish you all the best.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much for calling, Lisa. You can find Steven at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from New York. Hello, New York. How are you?
Hello?
Hi. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for listening to The Psychic Viewpoint. How may I help you?
Okay, so I'm kind of concerned about some things that went on in the past, but I have a friend whose name is Daniel, and we were dating at a certain point, and I kind of knew he wasn't the right person for me because, I don't know, I guess it's Puerto Rican and stuff, and I'm Jewish and whatever. But I also, at the same time, went on a date or two with another guy whose name is David. He is Jewish. He's in his 50s. And not that I like him in any way or manner, but because we're friends on Facebook, I'm kind of afraid that, that Daniel will find out that I, you know, went out with David while I was with him, and he would be really pissed off and, like, never talk to me again. So I'm concerned about that.
Ah, okay. Let's see if that worst case scenario is going to happen, first off, okay? Let's pick up on that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, first of all, I do see that there could be a little bit of controversy because of this. And I'll go ahead and tell you, in my work, I've seen Facebook get a lot of people in trouble. There's a lot of drama that pops up over Facebook. So that's the bad news. Now, the good news is that even though there probably will be some drama because of this Facebook misadventure, I don't think it's going to be anywhere nearly as bad as you seem to think it's going to be. In other words, I don't think that this is going to be a worst case scenario. In fact, I'm quite sure of it. In fact, judging from what I see here, the fallout from the Facebook situation is actually going to be beneficial for your ego, your definition as yourself. In other words, and the Five of Cups also makes me think that there's going to be good fortune involved here, just plain old raw good luck in your romantic life. So a few things are going to happen. Either Daniel's going to be really, really upset and break up with you, and you'll find somebody that makes all of them look like, you know, chopped liver, or your actions are actually going to arouse more interest out of Daniel. And this is a situation I've seen happen thousands of times. So the short answer to your question is, yeah, there's probably going to be some controversy. But B, it's actually probably going to be positive instead of negative. Do you see?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, you said it's going to arouse whose interest?
The first guy, Daniel.
Okay. So you're saying
jealousy.
That's much more likely than his getting mad and never talking to me again?
You understand correctly. Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, and you know the reason? Because jealousy gives a man a challenge. Now, I'm not going to say that you're not going to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to say that Daniel's not going to put your feet to the flames. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that once the smoke clears, you're going to have more influence over Daniel than you have before. You see? Because Daniel's going to have more value for you because now you have some potency. You have power. You can drop Daniel. You can replace him. You see? Now that's going to induce him to perform for you. Okay?
Okay. Well, in the other case where he never talks to me again, you don't see that as a negative, like I lose a really good friend?
No, I don't, because if that happens, I'm 100% positive that you would wind up meeting someone who is superior to Daniel anyway. The long and short of it is the evolution of this whole Facebook problem, this Facebook blunder, is going to be good fortune in your romantic life. That might sound hard to believe, but you wait, you'll see that it's so. Now, I'm definitely not saying that you're going to experience, no pain or no discomfort from this. I'm saying that at the end of the day, when the situation is all said and done with, you're going to have more luck, more good fortune, and a better result out of your romantic life. That much is guaranteed. So the way I see it, you can't really lose from this. And I'm not making this stuff up. If it were the opposite situation happening here, I would tell you, I have no problem doing that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for listening, and I wish you all the best, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, we have a caller from New Jersey for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, New Jersey.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Simone.
Simone. Hi, Simone. What can I help you with?
I'm currently working a temporary job, and I've been doing well. I've been at it for 3 months, and I would like to know if the company will eventually make me permanent.
Okay, so you've gone in there as a temp, but that doesn't – oh, got it. Understandable. And you like it 3 months. Okay. Everybody listen, very good direct question. I really appreciate that because it really helps me be able to help you in shorter period of time. It does appear like to me, what I'm getting here is you really have fused well in this company, meaning fusing well with everybody. It's like you do feel good there with everybody. Everybody's it's like you just, everybody, you're getting along. It's nice. It's very nice. And that's the most important thing about companies, and when you bring in a temp and stuff, sometimes it works out the best, and in fact that's probably why they haven't hired. Is you're doing a particular position right now that you feel is worthy of you, let's say, being offered that, if it was, or do you know what I mean, like I just feel that you fuse well with everybody. See, people all, everybody really has taken, it's like they've known you, they work well around
that's
you.
True.
And
that's true.
It's,
they always speak,
it's
they
like,
know my name.
Even yeah, you
some
belong.
People
it's like
really
you belong. it's almost like I see this to be a very good opportunity. I feel that also you've been through a lot of this is useless sacrifices. I see this particular opportunity to be a useful sacrifice. This whole thing here is like almost like resurrection. It's almost like opening your eyes in a whole new another light. And I do see some more advantages that would come with working here, working there. Not here in my home, but come over and work. No, you know, working is, I'd see some more opportunities that would be, even though they haven't been presented to you in a literally form of sitting down. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's almost like there is a feeling that it wouldn't be something that you could just go so far and that would be it. There's more than that. I definitely see you definitely being there. And it's, you know, psychically speaking, you can pick up on a lot of things very well, opposed to regular, you know, communication things. Well, I don't know. You know, it's like you have a you get a gut feeling about psychically, even if things haven't been around. You know, there's been a lot of stuff in your past that things haven't worked out really as it should be, in unfairness and stuff. This is not one of them. So it starts getting to you, and you start seeing things maybe that aren't fair. I feel that I want to encourage you to step back a moment, because this is not the same. This is a very good opportunity. The people around you, I see as being very good. You just, like I said, you walk in, you're just part of it. And that's really, really great. So I see, yes, do you answer your question? Yes. I absolutely see that. And I also see much more growth and opportunity going further.
Okay. So, and I felt it, but I just need clarification.
Yeah, so. I know. Bye. You can feel it really, because it's not normal. You feel it. You're real into it. You're real connected. Absolutely. And I hope, and I'm just not saying that, but I'm really glad I did. And like I said, you deserve this. You've been through some difficult times in finding your way and where you belong. This is good. Very good. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
I really
Thank you for calling.
You
okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, thank you very much for calling and listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, Simone. And anybody, you can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Ontario for Steve.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi.
Stephen. Who's calling from Ontario?
It's Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Jennifer. How can we help you?
Okay, so I've had several readings, and
okay.
I'm not finding love. So I'm wondering, when am I going to find love?
When are you going to find love? Let me see. Honestly, Jennifer, intuitively, I'm drawn out about 2 years from now. I don't feel that you're going to get into the right relationship this year. I can see that you've been disappointed in the past, but we all have at some point. Let me see. Yeah, I'm seeing at the moment I've got the Hermit card, and that's an indication of your situation at the current time. And the Hermit card, obviously, a hermit is alone, but the hermit focuses upon himself and his connection to his higher self, his learnings, his lessons about spirituality and about life. And so that's an indication to me that you're meant to be alone at this time, that this is a time of learning, a time of growth. And I do have, though, next to this card, the Two of Cups, which is a beautiful card indicating a relationship. So I don't have any doubt about the fact that you will have a good relationship. I just don't feel that it's meant to be right now. And I feel that it's, I would say, 18 to 24 months before you get into the right relationship. And I say the word right because we can all go and find a relationship tomorrow, but we need the right relationship, and we need a number of things. We need spiritual compatibility, emotional compatibility, intellectual compatibility, and physical compatibility. So it's a question of finding the right person. But as I said, I feel it's about 18 months out for you.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, how does that feel?
Not good.
Why is that?
I was hoping for you to say something sooner than that, but I guess it is what it is.
Why the rush?
Why the rush?
Yeah.
There's no rush, just I don't have 2 years to wait.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Gosh. Is why do you feel that way?
I don't know. I just do. I just feel like it should be much sooner than that, and I just don't have 2 years, I guess. I don't know. I just don't.
Okay. Well, I what I feel is you really need to reflect upon that, because I honestly feel that you don't want to rush. And if you feel that you must meet somebody and you must meet someone sooner, then you've got to question what energy you're putting out there, because what you're resonating is that life is not good, that your situation is not good, and it can only be good if you get into a relationship very quickly. And that is not a great way for you to energetically bring about the right relationship. So I really encourage you to think about that, because, as I said, I see a good relationship for you. I just don't see it coming so soon. And I really want you to think about why you feel it needs to be so soon, and why you feel that you don't have time to wait, etc., and what that might cause you to manifest in the near term. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah? Okay. Well, we wish you the best. And as Thanks. I said, I'm very confident that you'll have a great relationship. Just reflect upon now and what you want to be experiencing now, because now is precious as well.
Okay.
Okay. We wish you lots of luck.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Jennifer, and we wish you well in your quest to find romance. If you would like to call Steve at psychicaccess.com, he can help you troubleshoot any romantic or any problems for that matter whatsoever. Now, I have a caller from Missouri. Hello, Missouri.
Hello.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How may I help you?
I would like to know how I'm going to do on my club exam for Spanish tomorrow.
You want to know how you're going to do on what tomorrow? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
On my Spanish exam for club.
On your Spanish exam, ay caramba. Okay, let's see. How is she going to do on her Spanish exam tomorrow? Is she going to pass? Let's see what we got here. I can tell from the question that we can pretty much be satisfied with a pass. You know, we're not really shooting for the stratosphere here. But, you know, surprisingly, I see that probably you stand a pretty good chance of doing better on the exam than you think you have. Have you studied for it at all? Probably not, eh?
Yes, I have.
You have? Okay. Well, you surprised me. Well, good then. You studied for it. You've prepared for it, and you know what? Judging from what I see here, you're going to get results that are equal to your efforts that you put into studying it. In other words, you've studied for it. You're a pretty intelligent person. So as far as I'm concerned, you can reasonably expect not to fail that examen. Bueno?
Bueno.
Oh, snap. You're getting ready already. I think you're going to do pretty well in your exam, And in fact, I don't really see too much of a problem. I think maybe you just have a case of pre-exam nerves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Could that, you know, so just have faith in your abilities. It is tomorrow. So, you know, tonight probably is not the best time to cram for that exam. I think you would be better served by just trying to relax tonight and maybe just going over some of the critical areas. Now, you know, this isn't really related to psychic stuff, but general exam taking strategy here. Just want to remind you, go ahead and when you get to that exam, the best way to pass, go ahead, A, go through and answer all the questions you know first. Then go back through, answer those questions that you might be sure of but aren't quite, and then save the hardest ones for last. Then finally, use up every last bit of the exam time. I can't tell you how often I've done that and found, after I completed the exam, sloppy errors, careless mistakes that I've made and missed that could have equaled 5-10 points. So good luck to you on that one, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for listening to the Psychic Viewpoint. Okay, we have a caller from New York for Maureen.
Hello, New York. This is Maureen. May I have your name, please?
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
Gina.
Hi, Gina. What can I help you with?
Okay, a problem with my landlady's boyfriend. He's been breaking into the apartment, and there's drugs with him going on. He doesn't work, but he's been stealing. And, you know, and then I realize this winter he's a burglar, because he had all stolen things in the back of the house, you know, and they were, like, brand new. And he says, oh, he cleans people's houses out. Now, a few months ago, I found half of my closet cleaned out, and I got ADT put in. But he overrided the system, and he gets in, and I see how he did it. And I found physical evidence of spare keys that weren't mine, but they match mine. He stuck them in a handbag I wasn't using, and somebody else's canceled checkbook. And I called up the security, and they said he's getting in through the phone line. And I experienced the night before. The phone rang once, but not on the security box. And then I got dead air for like 2 minutes. Then all of a sudden the box beeped, and I got a dial tone again. And I told that to the company, and they said, well, he's getting in through the emails, how to cut off my phone, and that's how he's doing it. And they're going to come on the 8th, and now the trouble is that the walls are paper thin, and he's always around. And, you know, it's such a problem. They told me go to the police, you know, and I'm going to, you know. And police really don't do too much, you know, unless you catch a person in the act. And, you know, I feel like this is a lot of karmic bullcrap. And is he going to get caught soon? That's what I want to know, because he's stolen. I even have an American flag. He would keep knocking on the floor. I knew, you know, and I would pick it up and, you know, put it up securely. And he put my American flag on their flower box yesterday. I found it, you know, I was all this, you know, and then I found the stuff in my pocketbook of these plastic bag with duplicate keys.
Okay.
And, you know, I matched a couple to mine and this woman's checkbook, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm flabbergasted because, you know.
Well, you know, I want to say this, and anybody else listening, this is a case that I call extreme shenanigans, not that crazy making. And I don't feel that you deserve this. And I also feel that he, somehow or another, he is comfortable. I believe what you're taught. What you're saying is, I feel is the truth. I do feel that you're wanting to. You know, this is the thing. He's a crazy maker, and you're it. You're the one he's targeting because he can. Whatever the reason, he's not even your responsibility. The thing of it is, he's able to get away with it just because he's been doing it. My feeling is, first of all, what would you like to see? You're asking me, do I see him? What, getting caught? Well, he already has. You know, it's like common knowledge, right? Are you asking, now you're renting, you said, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are you willing to move out?
When I have the money, I will.
Okay, so I understand. I know we're not all. Yeah. So ideally, it would be, you need to manage him and get him. And this, again, it's taking back your personal power. This is what I feel. I do feel the new moon is coming, the full moon is coming up. I think it's in a couple weeks or something. I'm not sure. I see this is really bothering you more than you're even like how you have a handle, but this is extreme depression right now. I see you.
You feel raped. I mean, you know, when you go in and you see.
I understand. And this is not right. And this is not your. Some things are your business. Some things are God's business. And this is certainly nobody's business. God's or yours. This person has grabbed hold of your personal power. I want you to to grab back you back, because you can't expect yourself to handle this whole thing by yourself. No one's even giving you any moral support. Everybody's kind of doing their thing. But what about this woman's? It's the mother of the son. She's not. What I feel is he's going to continue doing this until it just won't matter. However, I do see a younger man, and I don't know. He looks like a son type of energy, who looks like he's coming towards you, and he's very protective. He's very kind. He's very sincere. He's it just feels like a son type of personality or figures, somebody younger, and he won't have it. He won't. It's like somebody that you know that will back you up in this. I also see another man, and they're not people that really know of this, but I do see you getting healing from this sooner than later. But I would like you to really, I see a burden coming off your back. I really feel you need to get more involved. And I'm going to be a little rough on you, but my intentions are good. Get yourself out of that depression, because this is not your issue. This guy has problems, and everybody knows it, and you do too. And don't let him have your personal power. I do see help on real soon, male energy help. They'll make you feel like a big burden's coming off your back. I do see within the next 4 to 6 weeks. I'm really sorry this is happening to you. Bless your heart. Just darn crazy
makers.
Let us know how you're doing, okay? Call back. Let us know how you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. We wish you all the best on that troubling issue. If you would like to get a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Steve, you have a caller from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Yeah, hi, Stephen. It is me, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I want to know what will the outcome of my divorce be.
The outcome of your divorce?
Yeah.
In the sense that, will it be amicable or will it not be amicable, or how it will play out financially?
How will it play out financially?
How will it play out financially? Okay. Okay, let's see. I feel it plays out okay for you financially, Stephen. I feel that it's fair. I feel that there's more of a desire to end the relationship on your side than there is on your wife's side, or soon to be ex-wife's side. And I feel as though the situation's relatively amicable. I know that relationship endings are very difficult, and I know that that divorces can often get extremely difficult. But although there's sadness, I feel that it works out fairly for you. I don't feel that, you know, you can expect to leave the relationship with more than your share. But I feel that anybody that would look back at the situation and see how it was settled would say, you know, this was a fair division of assets. So I don't feel that it's going to be particularly difficult or particularly complex. And as I said, I feel that it will work out in a fair manner for you. How do you feel?
Well, what I feel is that she's after my money. Which she never contributed one penny to. She kept all her money to herself, and she's looking at what I have. She saved every penny she could for herself. And the little I have, she's trying to come after. She has hers hidden.
Okay. Well, I don't feel that it ends up badly for you. I'm looking, just tuning into it and looking at the cards. I don't feel that, you know, she's going to ruin you or she's going to end up with more than her share. I feel that it ends in a fair manner. I do feel that she, as I said, I feel that she was less keen to leave the relationship or end the relationship than you were. So she's feeling a little hurt. But again, I don't feel that she's going to ruin you financially. I feel that it's fair.
No, she moved out. And once you move out, you cannot come back.
Okay, but you were married, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not sure of the law state by state, Stephen, but I know that obviously there has to be a division of assets. But as I said, I although you feel stressed by it, and the separation is always stressful, and obviously you're concerned about finances, I feel that you'll be okay. I honestly feel that the final position will be fair. And the cards are saying that to me as well.
Okay.
So I don't feel that you need to. I don't feel that you need to be overly anxious about the situation.
And is there a time frame around this?
I get them as soon as you ask that question. I get 6 months.
6 months.
I feel it takes about 6 months. Yeah, which I know is not necessarily quick in the United States. I've seen divorces resolved in a much shorter time frame, but I feel it takes about 6 months for you. So you're looking at, well, it's almost July, so you're looking at the end of the year or very beginning of next year.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Stephen, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks again. I'll say hi to Maureen, please.
Oh, there, Maureen, I think Stephen was saying hello to you. So hello to you.
Sorry. He said hello. Oh, hello. Sorry.
Stephen was saying, I think he said, say hi to Maureen.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay. Hello.
How nice. Thank you very much for calling us, Stephen. Thank you for listening to The Psychic Viewpoint. If you'd like a reading from Steve, please visit him at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, Ohio.
Hello.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm good. My name is Julie.
Hi, Julie. Thank you very much for calling. How may I help you?
I wanted to know what you see for my love life.
Okay. Let's just go ahead and look over the next 6 months just to see if anything stands out here, if there's anything notable. Ah, well, I have to say, there's definitely going to be some activity. Now, I'm not going to forecast wedding bells over the next 6 months. I'm not going to forecast even a permanent relationship or an improvement to an existing or past relationship over the next 6 months. However, in month number three, which is, let's see, June, July, July, August to September, late summer, early autumn, the 10 of the fire element, that's going to be the time of the change. Okay, and it's going to be, since it's the fire element, it's going to be a change of the enthusiasms. That makes me think that your romantic life, no matter what it's like right now, we've got about maybe 8-12 more weeks before it sort of changes radically. Now, this is going to be followed by a period of healing and regeneration. And this corresponds with October. And so it looks like your love life is going to improve. But not quite right off the bat. There's still going to be some, a learning curve that you have to deal with in terms of your emotions, in terms of your emotional attachments and the way that you attach to people emotionally, and especially in month number two, starting from now, which would be from July to August. And this is shown by the reversed Nine of Cups. However, after that month, going from August to September, I really judge a rather sudden, unexpected even, and a pretty powerful improvement in your romantic life, Julie. Okay. Now, again, I'm not forecasting a permanent relationship or anything like that. What I am forecasting is an improvement.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's somebody new or somebody that's already in my life?
I would expect it to be somebody new simply because the nature of the 10, the numerology of the 10, is that it refers to ending one cycle and starting a new one. You see what I mean? If you add up, if you cross sum the number 10, 1 plus 0, you get 1 again, and that's the number of a new cycle, something new. And so I'm actually judging as A, that the person will be new, and that B, because of your interaction with him, it's going to sort of heal past hurts. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a very good energy. And all you have to do sort of is just sort of coast through the next 8 weeks, 12 weeks or so. And I really do believe that great things are on the horizon for you, romantically speaking. Okay?
Oh, thank you. That sounds
yes,
good.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much for calling, Julie. We wish you all the best on that, okay?
I wish you the best, too.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, we have a call from North Carolina for Maureen.
It's from me.
You're calling us.
Hi, North Carolina. May I ask your name, please?
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What can I help you with?
Well, I've been dating this guy, and we lived together for a year, and I feel really secure in my past relationship. I was married for 20 years, and of course it ended, and I don't know, my insecurities pop up every now and then. I have a strong feeling that his ex-girlfriend has been trying to contact him. I don't know. I just want a little confirmation. As someone who's intuition that brings out insecurities, I guess.
Oh, I understand. So you're not saying that you don't. You're asking me if you two are as you think you are with him, but although you don't know for a fact about him. Let me ask you this. Are you seeing this guy right now, pretty much? Right?
Yes, we live together.
So, right. Okay, so the thing of it is, this is a lot about the insecurities, because, and you said it perfectly, and I do feel, so you're asking, is this relationship going to move forward as you would like to see it, or is there something around the corner like you've experienced before with other, it does feel like insecurity, you know, you said it, and I just feel that, it looks like he works very hard. I don't see any time for anything else. Does he work really hard
very hard.
Yeah,
like
he doesn't have time to be
messing
around with anybody. I guess is what I'm saying. I don't see at all, and I'm not dismissing what you're saying, but you know, you're real upfront and honest about where you felt it was coming from, and I agree. And I agree with that. It does feel like he's working extremely hard, but it's a really good thing because it does appear like prior to this, he wasn't getting. He turned everything around for him. He wasn't getting the accomplishment or acknowledgement he should have where he was. And he decided to know more. Someone else was getting a lot, you know, the credibility for things he did. So what he's doing, he's working his butt off, it looks like. It also is providing you, at the same time, you're searching for a deeper meaning. But he's not alongside you. I just think he's working so hard. It's hard to be, it must be hard to get, you know, have some time together. Because he looks like he's exhausted. But I do feel that I just don't feel... Oh, it looks like there's a new, really positive new change of residence or something new in your home coming up in around August, September. It looks very, very good. I see you.
For both of us?
Well, it's in your reading, so I feel it's a together thing. There's one thing I would like to say. I feel he can be trusted. I really do. I do feel I don't see him. Whatever somebody's, you know, messing with, he can't help whatever might be happening. But I do see a very one thing I want to tell you before I go or before we go. Mm-hmm. There's one person I want you to be really careful about, and someone that you would confide in. And it looks like this person has darker hair. You know of this person, and it looks like I feel a girl, but like tomboyish girlish figure. Like, not real, you know. And this person is very manipulative and a troublemaker that could cause a lot of gossiping, a lot of trouble for people in relationships. While you're going about your business, this person would be the type to start yappity-yappy in your people's, you know, ears about gossip. It's not. If you hear anything to do, because this relationship, I feel, is worthy of really keeping it moving forward.
Okay.
If you hear anything that pertains to your business and it's not coming directly from the man that you're, you know, with, I'm encouraging you, please go to him and talk to him about it. Don't let this interference or this trouble, perpetual, ridiculous person cause grief, honestly.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Pardon me?
I think I know who you're talking about.
Good. That's even better. Because you know what? It's just, it sounds like a soap opera, but it just... No good comes from it, honestly. And you're moving, mm-hmm. you know, thriving along, and this doesn't need to be messed up. You guys are okay. This is good. Okay? Let us know how you're doing. Thank you for calling.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. And if you'd like a reading from Maureen, please find her at psychicaccess.com. Steve, you have a caller from Florida.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Florida?
Hi, this is Patsy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Patsy. How are you?
Well, my week was pretty bad this week. I had a job interview that I really, really wanted, okay. and I didn't get it, and I was pretty upsetting. And then on the love side, it's not going too well. So is there any hope for me lately? Because everything seems bad lately for me.
Well, I can see recently as I look at the cards that things have been a little bit challenging for you, but the outlook's actually really, really good. You've got a great outlook. And as I look at the cards, I don't feel worried about you, Patsy. The thing with you, Patsy, is you've got a great attitude. And you might not have got that job, but you have to consider, well, perhaps it wasn't the job that was right for you. Perhaps it wasn't the opportunity that the universe has planned for you. And maybe it wouldn't have been a good choice. So you always have to step back and say, well, you know, if I'm meeting resistance or if something doesn't work out, it's okay. So I'll give you a simple example. I was selling a home one time, and it took a long time to sell. And I at times started to feel frustrated, and it went on and on and on. But then I realized that there was a very good reason why the universe delayed that sale. And I was very clear about it and very grateful that it played out the way it did. So don't be downhearted. You really are in a good position. You've got so much to offer. And as I said, people really warm to you. They really like you. They really want to be around you. And in the right organization will absolutely want you to join and be a part of what they're doing. So I do feel that there is actually already an offer in the pipeline for you. I don't feel that you've got to start from scratch. You must have things already in the pipeline that can come to fruition, because the card I'm looking at for the current time says that there is a good message, a good communication coming to you. And I actually feel that it'll work out really well.
I have a job. I just need a better job.
Okay, well, you're going to be fine. Really, you're going to be fine. I feel actually that it's very likely that you'll have a choice. Because again, as I look at the cards that describe the future for me in response to your question, not only is there something in the pipeline, there's also a choice. And I feel that you'll get to choose the opportunity that's best for you. And it will work out really well. You know, beyond that, you've got some great cards. And you're somebody that's really good at manifesting what you want to manifest. Just don't get frustrated when it takes a little longer than you might like or have planned, because
was my relationship with Greg. So it's like, oh my God, really? Can anything else happen to me this week?
Well, I feel that you'll be fine, honestly. I really do feel that you're going to be fine. You haven't got a bad card in this spread of cards. And just take it all in your stride. Trust that things are changing, or things are this way because it's meant to be so. And trust that the universe has good things planned for you.
Should I give this relationship a try with Greg, or I should just let it go?
Well, what's the situation? Has he said he doesn't? Have you ended the relationship? What's the?
I did.
What's the
I
problem?
Did. I did.
You did.
I don't know.
Well, if you've ended it, I feel that he'll actually say to you that he doesn't want to end it, because we've got the Knight of Cups here, and the Cups represent love, feelings, emotion, relationships, and the Knight is a message, a communication. So I really feel, just relax, just take each day as it comes. With Greg, I feel that he'll say he wants to be with you, but again, I feel you've got options to weigh up in both love and in your career. So you've got to take a little time and reflect upon what it is you really want, because you're going to have choices and decisions to make. Okay.
Well, that's good. I will change my little avatar for next week to happier, because this week was bad. That's true. I try to stay positive. I'm like, okay.
Always do. Always do. And that helps. You
I was
great,
down.
You
I was disappointed. I was disappointed. I'm like, oh, I really wanted it. But that's okay.
Well, it wasn't necessarily what you think it was. So relax. Carry on.
Okay.
You've got a great attitude. And start thinking about what you really, really want, because as I said, you're going to have choices.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great night, all of you guys.
Thank you very much, Patsy. Thank you for calling. We wish you all the best. And if you would like to get a reading from Steve at psychicaccess.com, be sure to give him a visit. You will not be disappointed. Now, I have a caller from Florida. Hello, Florida.
Hello.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How may I help you?
I'm not sure. I'm actually...
You're not sure? Okay, well, where can we start?
I'm not sure. I tell you what, just spread the cards and tell me what I need to know at this moment for my highest good.
All right, well, let's see what we got here. What does she need to know the most about her life right now? The general big thing that you need to know, the topic, as it were, is represented by the Hanged Man. This is a card of sacrifice, of giving up things that perhaps you don't want to give up. So maybe the whole idea behind this is maybe you're going to be or have been forced to behave in a way that's unnatural to you, or to give up something that you don't want to give up, or maybe you're forcing somebody else to give something up that they don't want to give up. However, what is to be avoided is shown by the 10 of the earth element. And what this represents is, hey, don't change your mind about, you know, your basic attitude on how you go about doing things. There's no need to fix something that is not broken. Okay, so that's definitely to be avoided. And this is going to pertain mainly probably to work issues,
uh-huh.
And also maybe even money, but probably definitely to work. Work seems to be really emphasized here from the predominance of the earth element and the fire element in this spread. Now, we talked a little bit about what to avoid. So far, the issues of sacrifice, yeah, that's the main issue here. So maybe you're giving up too much at work. Maybe you're giving in to arguments with your coworkers, perhaps, or maybe you're sacrificing somehow at work. At any rate, the thing is definitely telling you not to avoid. It's telling you not to change your basic stance on issues, and mainly at work. Now, what to do? Let's take a more positive approach here. We've talked about what to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
What should you do? This is shown by the 2 of the earth element. The number 2 always deals with relationships, but here this card is associated with the signs of Capricorn and Taurus, and so these are definitely work signs. These are definitely work energies. It's almost as if the tarot is advising you to sort of distract yourself with work. Overwork is indicated here. So if you're having any issues in life, any problems in life, if you're feeling bored, for instance, or maybe you're just confused about what you should do, then the key, the answer to the solution to the whatever problem it is you may be having. And I suspect that problem might be wrapped up in ideas of sacrificing too much or giving too much of something. Then sort of distracting yourself with work, throwing yourself into work is the way to go. And especially cultivating relationships at work. Not relationships to have fun, but relationships that will profit you somehow, will make you better at your profession, or even will get you some money somehow. Now, the outcome of all of this is represented by the number 5 of the fire element reversed. And what this represents is increased good fortune, increased luck, increased ability in your, not just your work, but in your motivation in your profession. This is what's important here. It's going to be the start almost of a lust for your profession. Do you see? So, you know, in absence of anything to really focus on and crystallize on, I judge that these issues are probably going to be the thing that you need to focus on the most in life at this present time, okay?
Okay, that's wonderful. So what you're really saying is that I need to do a lot of networking.
Yes, ma'am. And it's not just so much, the whole idea here that I'd like you to take away is that, A, somehow you're sacrificing something out of your life. Maybe you're sacrificing the way that you engage with life. Maybe you're bored, or you just don't know what to do to get a better result or get more excitement. Now, the 5 of the mm-hmm. fire element seems to be the goal that we're shooting for here, and that's a lust for life, and it's also a lust for your profession as well. And the way to do that is to really, really hammer down, buckle down at work. And even though that might sound boring and hard, if you do it, you're going to find a way to really engage with your profession in a way that helps you to wake up in the morning without the aid of your alarm clock. Okay?
Okay. All right.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, okay?
Okay, then.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Now, I do believe we have one more caller that we're going to take here. Unfortunately, if we have callers on the line who are waiting, we do apologize that we can't get to you. Please, please call us back next week, and we'll be sure, we'll do our very best to get to you. Let me see right now if we do have another call that we can take before we get out of here for the evening. We actually have had, okay. Well, we actually have to close out right now. We thank everybody for listening to us tonight. And next week, I'll be discussing spirit orbs with Celeste Oliver. Before we do exit, though, I would like to thank Doug C., who labors behind the scenes and to provide this place for us all to congregate and discuss the things that we love so much. Also, I would like to thank my co-hosts, Maureen and Steve. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week, everyone.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.